Well, hello there, TGP. It's Tuesday, September 14th, 2021. This is In The Know, episode 13. Lucky 13. We don't believe in luck here. Get out of here. Good weekend this weekend. I was out of pocket yesterday, so I didn't get to record. Today's going to be a little shorter because I also didn't preach this past weekend. Couple of quick announcements. We have a baptism service coming up this Sunday, so please make plans to be here. Hopefully, if you're not able to be here, we can live stream it. We had some complications. Something happened this week and the board like shut off. So we weren't able to live stream this week. And I hate that. But hopefully we'll have that back up and running this week. And also, Gentle and Lowly books are still available. So if you are interested in getting one of those, you can see me for that. All right, quickly, let's talk 1 Peter 2:9, and then let's just talk about something that I heard on a podcast this week. So I so appreciated Glenn's teaching on 1 Peter 2:9. I want to recap some of it for you, but first I want to read 1 Peter 2:1-10. There's so much Old Testament background and so many Old Testament quotations here. If you have a Bible with footnotes, just look at how many there are. And if you're even familiar a little bit with the Old Testament, just hear the references and allusions to the Old Testament. He's so steeped in it. And he's pointing to how Jesus fulfills much of this and how the church fulfills some of this. So he says, "So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, a living stone, rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, 'Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame.' So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." Glenn broke down verse 9. He basically focused there on verse 9, and he broke it down into three sections. Number one, we are God's people. Number two, we are set apart. Number three, we pursue God's purpose. Now, that's my wording of kind of what he said, but I think that's just my way of saying the we thing to be. What's the word I'm looking for? It's not equivalent. I don't know. I can't figure it out. I can't remember. To just be equal. The we, instead of we, God. So we pursue God's purpose. That's how I worded his third point. So first, Glenn spoke to the fact that we are God's people. You can see this in verse 10 when Peter quotes the book of Hosea. He says, "Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." That's the book of Hosea, where God tells that prophet to name his children, "Not my people," and "no mercy," as an indictment on his people, to give a message to his people. And so he takes that and then he says that we were that, like we were lo ami, not my people, lo ruhama, no mercy. But now we are God's people. Now we have received mercy. Glenn noted that God has purchased us. We are precious to him. He's drawn us and called us into relationship with him, and we're chosen by God. What good news, right? That means that our salvation has never and will never depend on us, but on God. And that's good news because that means that it can be sure and final and carried through all the way to the very end. Because if it ever depends on us, we're going to perish. He said that God does all of this to make us his own precious possession. He said that beautiful reality should move us. It should motivate us toward God in pursuit of him as we see how deeply and the ways in which he has pursued us. Next, Glenn spoke of the fact that God has set us apart. We are, in Peter's words, a holy nation. God intends for all those who are his people, his chosen possession, his royal priesthood, to be different, distinct, and set apart from the world around them. There should be something different about us. Right? And it's not only that we don't engage in the same unrighteousness as the world around us, though that's definitely part of it. It's we have a joy and a confidence, a settledness. When the world seems to be burning around us, we have this hope and we have this faith, we have this trust. And it's almost, it should look different than the world. There should be something different about us. As Glenn said, we move from being children of disobedience, destined for disobedience in Peter's words, to being children of obedience. God does care about our obedience. And we ought to make specific applications of his word to our lives under the guidance of his spirit. And on top of that, Glenn mentioned the book of John, chapter 14, verse 21, and the fact that as we obey, our obedience does afford us deeper and growing intimacy with God. This is true and this is good. And so for all of those reasons, God cares about our obedience and we should too. And finally, Glenn spoke to the purpose of God in choosing, calling, saving, and setting us apart. He wants us to proclaim his excellencies. We proclaim him, Paul says in Colossians. We preach Christ crucified, Paul says in 1 Corinthians. We tell of his salvation from day to day, says Psalm 96, 2 through 4. God is excellent in his mercies. He is excellent in his dealings with man. He is excellent in the core of his being. The reason that he's excellent to us is that he is excellent in reality, who he is, right? Who he is why he does what he does. So the reason that he has shown himself as excellent to us is that he really is excellent in the center of his being. He is excellent. He excels. He is different and distinct and holy in his excellencies. And he wants us to proclaim them. Glenn called him the God of excellencies. And this God wants the world to know through his church the glories of his excellence, the wonders of his nature, and the beauty of his love. This is why we're saved. We become his to make him known so that others around us might also know him. He has rescued us from the domain of darkness, called us out from darkness into the kingdom of his beloved Son, into his marvelous light, making us children of light. What a great, merciful, and mighty God. This God is good news. And while we're on the subject of good news, I listened to the Crossway podcast this week. In that podcast, the host interviewed Ray Ortland, whose son Dane wrote Gentle and Lowly, by the way. He was the pastor at Emmanuel Church in Nashville. And he said that while he was there, his church adopted a call to worship from 10th Presbyterian Church in Nashville. And it's, I think, in Nashville. I might be getting that wrong, but neither here nor there. But it's really wonderful. I think it proclaims the good news of Jesus to sinners, and it shows how the church holds out this hope of Jesus to believers and unbelievers alike. Here's how it goes. I just want this to sit with you today. It says, "To all who are weary and need rest, to all who mourn and long for comfort, to all who sin, to all who fail and desire strength, to all who sin and need a Savior, this church opens wide her doors in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. the friend of sinners. So I'll link in the newsletter a tweet where he kind of talks for a couple of minutes and reads it. Let me just tell you, it's the very best thing you're going to hear or see on Twitter today. So click on that link and go watch that video. It's about 2.5 minutes long. And at the end, he reads that welcome. And I just love that. It's we as a church, because we believe that this Jesus, his person, his work, his life, death, and resurrection, he is good news to us. He is our friend. As we have confessed our sins and we are growing in holiness, he is our friend, the friend of sinners, and we welcome sinners to come and sit at his feet because he's the friend of sinners. He eats with tax collectors and sinners, and that's good news. So praise God for that good news. Have a great week. I love you, people.